with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed, flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking.
My goodness. You know, we did something last Thursday and Friday that I have not re-aired in a very, very long time. I think the two-part series that we aired for you last week, Cast a Giant Shadow, I believe I recorded sometime around 2001 or two. Maybe over the years I've played it one more time. Not because I'm afraid to. I just, things continue to go on in our daily life. To some degree, I was absolutely surprised what this past weekend brought. Beginning Thursday night, I started receiving texts from listeners. I began receiving emails. People who are learned, very knowledgeable, well-versed people in the subject matter. And we apparently shared much in that series, some things that had never come to light for some of those people. I've got people who've contacted me that would like CDs of that series. I know I still have the master around here somewhere. It is one of the points I try to make when I run these is don't generally pay any attention to any commercial moments that may be embedded in those series because phone numbers are out of date or addresses are out of date in those commercial moments. Hopefully we got them removed. But Still getting calls on it today. Some regular listeners, some people that we do business with, others who are blown away that they want to share this with very large groups that they are involved with that teach and educate about such issues. So it looks like we cast a giant shadow across a wide spectrum of land over this past weekend, and I thank all of you for your input. I am attempting to see what I can do about the CD situation. Back in those days, I had equipment. I was able to, you know, reproduce all the CDs myself, and I still may be able to do that with some equipment I have here today. I had a place up in Scottsdale I used to go to. I don't even know if they're in business any longer. And they had the ability to assist me in recreating images and the lettering and all that kind of stuff directly on the CD. There was a time where I used to print my own labels and put them on. But that creates problems because as those labels begin to get thin, they begin to peel and maybe they jam up your machines and we don't want to do that kind of stuff. For those of you who tune in to listen to the archives, you certainly are welcome to save and download those archives, but it's not as clean and clear and crisp as the original. But anyway, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America. I am tired and worn out today. I have been finding myself going to bed much earlier than I have for many, many years. And in doing so, I also wake up quite early. I was awake at 4:30 this morning. I have not stopped working since. I had a wide range of notes and calls and things I had to take care of today. I had a doctor's appointment with a neurologist who, by the time I was done, we were having a marvelous conversation. He said, "You're doing the right thing. You're getting it all put together. You're handling your sleep issues and your other issues well." He and I began talking about some natural enzymes, natural vitamins and additions, and many of them he was quite familiar with, some of which he even takes himself. But I was dealing with a gentleman from probably East India. You go talk into an American doctor and start talking about stuff like that, forget it. He and I start talking about big pharma and the greed factor, and he's sitting there laughing because he agrees. He understands it's garbage. Well, to give a quick review or commentary to follow up on what our program was last Thursday and Friday, this came to me over the weekend. We are in the middle of a global pandemic where, and I don't know how long ago this thing was put together. Maybe it's new, maybe it's not. I have no idea what the numbers are. We're in the middle of a global pandemic where 39 million Americans have lost their jobs and cannot feed their families. But Israel has got to get its $38 billion check from the U.S. taxpayers. Oh, yeah, baby, let that one sink in. As Americans lose their jobs, the Senate gears up to give Israel a minimum of $38 billion. For what? To buy their friendship? Our worst enemy in the world we could buy for $38 billion. Oh, that's right, we did. And they sunk the USS, they fired upon the USS Liberty and killed a whole bunch of American sailors, didn't they? Remember that? Huh? Yeah. Good Lord. We have got to be the dumbest bastards on the face of the earth. I'm sorry if that offends you. It's fact and reality. Oh, in case you don't know what the heck you're tuned into, this is Jeff Bennett. You're listening to The Edge, and a little bit later we're going to be talking about some of the postcards from The Edge. Not necessarily the ones that I received, but ones that certainly need some serious consideration. Let's talk about books for a moment. I have spent most of my life being not only an avid collector of books, I have the first edition of a book called Recollections and Letters of a Confederate General, edited and compiled by General Robert E. Lee's son. I have a first edition of, oh, what the heck's that guy's name? It doesn't matter. First edition, second edition. Those were quirks that I even came across those books. There's other books that Ayn Rand, her books are so in-depth and so lengthy, it can get crazy. But recent legislators, activists, education reformers have promised to lead us into a new world of equity. No longer will some groups have a different lifestyle from others. No longer will some groups have a different education from others. There'll be reform or else. That warning from Hank Newsom, or Hawk Newsom. And he warned that we will burn down this system and replace it. Huh? A preview. For a preview of these very glories, as Hank Newsom has talked of, we only have to open Ayn Rand's Anthem, a book that's little known. In this dystopian novella, collectivists achieve their ideal by burning cities and books and then implementing central planning. And now everyone is equal. Equally poor, equally housed, equally limited in what they can say and do and think. And if, as Jen Mephisante observes, dystopian fiction helps us understand the dangers we face, then none is more relevant to this moment than Rand's novella. What Anthem clarified is the real significance of collectivist ideals and language, which undermine not only our rights, but our abilities to articulate them. Anthem opens by foregrounding the triumph of the collective through the narrator's struggle to express and justify his thoughts. And in this world, there is no I, only the collective we, which has become synonymous with good. And therefore, the novel opens by stating, it is a sin to write this. It is a sin to think words that no others think and to put them down upon a paper no others are to see. And well, we know that there is no transgression blacker than to do or think alone. Only the Council of Vocations can approve such writing. And the narrator, 1 Equality 7:2521, struggles to conform even as he defies such rules. We strive to be like all our brother men, for all men must be alike, but he is not. At 6 feet, Equality 7:2521 towers over the other boys. And his teacher warns that there is evil in your bones. But in school he is unhappy because learning was too easy. Oh, this is a great sin, to be born with a head which is too quick. How does he know? For the teachers told us so. Eventually, Equality 7:2521 tries to imitate the slow learners, but the teachers know. And we, quote, were lashed more often than all the other children. And when he turns 15, the Council of Vocations places him in the home of the street sweepers, where he will have no more opportunities to display his quick mind. Equity achieved? Anthem anticipates Friedrich Hayek's later warnings about our poison language. In The Fatal Conceit, the errors of socialism, Hayek observes, so long as we speak in language based in erroneous theory, we generate and perpetuate error. That error is evident in the use of words to convey entire moral arguments. In Anthem, we and the collective are good, just as Hayek observed. Social now designates what is morally right. What at first seems a description imperceptibly turns into a prescription. Distributive justice. A similar shift is now occurring in the use of equity. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the earliest recorded instance was from the year 1315, from which point equity has been used to mean the quality of being equal or fair. Fairness, impartiality, even-handed dealing. Ah, but now equity means the moral imperative to ensure equal outcomes, as in the concept of educational equity. Equity recognizes that some are at a larger disadvantage than others and aims at compensating for those people's misfortunes and disabilities. But how does equity do this? It aims to take extra measures by giving those who are in need more than others who are not. Equity aims at making sure that everyone's lifestyle is equal, even if it may come at the cost of unequal distribution of access and goods. In other words, in order to achieve equity, the unacknowledged officials treat people unequally. Rand's anthem illustrates the results generated by such committees. The Council of Vocations achieves equal lifestyles by grouping diverse people into the home of the street sweepers, where Equality 72521's team consisted of a talented artist and a man incapable of using his broom due to incessant convulsions. Their work is uneven, to say the least. And so when Equality secretly discovers electric light and brings it to the Council of Scholars, they reject his invention because he invented it alone. Furthermore, it would destroy the Department of Candles and wreck the plans of the World Council, which took 50 years to approve the candle. They insist it be destroyed, metaphorically seeking to keep their world in the dark. And for the collective, the goal was control of outcomes, not freedom or human flourishing. And to maintain that control, they make sure that no one can see the truth, much less say it. And in the home of the sweet sleepers at night, the men undress silently in the dim candlelight, for all must agree with all, and they cannot know if their thoughts are thoughts of all, and so they fear to speak. And yet, my friends, over these past months, we have come closer to Rand's dystopia of fear, silencing, distorted equity. In a recent survey at the University of North Carolina, students across the political spectrum reported that they, like the street sweepers, engaged in self-censorship in classrooms, remaining silent even when their opinions related to topics in class. But they are afraid, not just in North Carolina, my friends, but across the land. For they are not alone. Online mobs are destroying careers and lives, as John Stossel observed in The Cancel Culture is Out of Control. And he urges those of us who can speak to do so. And yet embracing free speech and other rights becomes increasingly difficult as governments push to eliminate them, to eliminate us, to eliminate me. Recently, the California legislature passed ACA 5, which would allow for race and gender conscious remedies to correct differences in university admissions and government contracts. And the measure for equity would overturn Proposition 209, which prohibits the state from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment to any group or individual on the basis of race, sex, or ethnicity. If California citizens pass it, the government will be able to legally to discriminate against individuals. And yet, as Rand once argued, individual rights are not subject to a public vote. A majority has no right to vote away the rights of a minority. The political function of rights is precisely to protect minorities from oppression by majorities. And the smallest minority on earth is the individual. Rand urged individuals to take a stand, and in her author's foreword, to the American edition of Anthem, Rand observed that the greatest guilt today is that of people who accept collectivism by moral default. And if we need models, we only have to look to Leonard Reed. He discovered that Anthem had been published in England in 1938, but had been rejected by American publishers. And deciding it deserved a broader audience, he issued the first American edition with pamphleteers in 1946, the same year that he founded an organization called FEE, Foundation for Economic Education. Think about that. My friends, our own options may vary. But as John Stossel urges, those of us who can speak up must do so. Otherwise, we face entering the 21st century version of Anthem. And in effect, we may have already done so. Where in the living hell do we go from here? I don't know. It's not going to be good. Let's take a moment and do some quick market updates, give you an idea what took place today. I don't frankly care for the most part. I don't even know why I do it. I think there's an awful lot of you who could care less about it. I've made this very plain and clear. I have no intention of concentrating 5 sinking days a week talking money, 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 money. Gentlemen, I had a call from over the weekend, partially because of the programs, the two-part program we did, partially for other reasons. Said when he first tuned in to my program, he just thought, oh, my God, here we go. Another guy, many, 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 gold, silver, buy gold, that, 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 that. He said, but I decided to stick around. And he said, I began to find that you weren't what I thought you were going to be, and I appreciate it. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I am what I am. I upset some people. There's no two ways about it. I know that a certain percentage of listeners that tuned in on at least Thursday night faded away. I think that much of what we discussed in that program went way too far over their heads. For others, they just said, nah, he's just being anti-Semitic. No, that was never the issue. And if you'd stuck around and tuned in and listened to all of it, you'd realize that that had nothing to do with the program. So let's take a look at the Shekelmeisters for today, as long as I'm going to bring it up. Dow Jones Industrial closed up 236 today at 26,664. S&P 500 was up about 23.5 at 32.94, almost 32.95. NASDAQ up 157.5 at 10,902. Global Dow, whoo, it was up 7.5 points today. Oil down 42 cents again. But I don't see it coming down at the pump, man. Now, that's the one thing about the gas stations. Those characters just keep doing what they do. You know, they're pumping us at the pump. I mean, just a couple of months ago, all of a sudden, there was no buyers for oil, period. It went to zero. But that sure didn't do much of anything over at the gas pump, did it? No, they didn't lower it. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Oh, you care about what the metals did today? Do you really? Rhodium closed flat at $6,950 an ounce. God knows how. It ain't nobody buying cars, man. The car business is in deep trouble. Palladium up two whopping dollars at 1980. Yeah, 1980 was a good year. That's the year that, you know, gold hit 850 an ounce and silver hit, you know, 50 bucks an ounce, whatever. Platinum flat at $914. Silver dropped off a nickel at $24.28. Gold down $3.50 roughly at 1974. But see, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't pay that much attention to what the moment-to-moment dog and pony show of the precious metals are. You can't. Don't get your head in a spin. Buy it. Put it away. Shut up about it. Did something today I haven't done for a couple of weeks. I posted a bunch of financial headlines, some of which are from columns I've done over the last couple of weeks. From Ron Paul, FedCoin, new scheme for tyranny and poverty. How to deprogram your friends and family from the cult of fiat currency. That's one I never got around to airing. A continuation, more problems at the U.S. Mint, gold and silver coin production disruptions for another 12 to 18 months. We're not talking about the coins that we allegedly have in our pocket that we spend. We're talking gold and silver coins. American Eagles. Something interesting going on. I mean, you got gold and silver? Because the supply chain disruptions continue. So on the fence, investors may want to get some while there's still some to be gotten. I'm still getting some silver. I'm still getting some gold. Got a call from a gentleman last week that had bought copper from me some years ago. Yeah. Another piece, gold, the absolutely essential investment in a warped system with fake money and false markets. A little bit of the Roman history built into that one as well. Veritas, the Roman goddess of truth. Well worth looking at. An exquisite video. One of my favorite pianists, Katia Bugnatishvili, doing Debussy's Clair de Lune. One of the most amazing presentations you will ever listen to or see. I don't care if you're blind. You don't need to see her. I've never seen a pianist who can do a piece and never once open her eyes. You've never seen such an emotion in a musician in your life. Headline. We're experiencing economic devastation on a scale that America has never seen before. That's from Michael Snyder. And to be honest with you, I don't think we're going to survive it, people. I don't think we're going to survive it. Listen to this one. This is a record. The average age of cars and trucks on the road in this country today has set a record. And it's going to jump during the pandemic because new vehicle sales have plunged to 1970s levels. Automakers, as we've shared, tough time. Very, very tough times ahead. More major Lord and Taylor, some other places announced going into bankruptcy, may never reopen again, may restructure, may say screw it and just move on. It's all coming apart, people. It's not going to go away anytime too soon. Okay? That simple. That simple. I haven't even read this. One of the world's most livable cities just went into full lockdown mode as coronavirus cases spike. Oh, boy, could I tell you about the conversation I had with a neurosurgeon that I had an appointment with today. And by the time we were done, he said, Mr. Bennett, you are one of the very rare patients, if you will, that have come in here that has enough understanding. You're doing the right thing to deal with the issue that brought us together back in April. And there's some dietary, it's cutting back on this, adding to this, et cetera, et cetera. So interesting stuff. More and more things are going against both Biden and Trump. I think that the Democrats have begun to realize that Trump is off his rocker. He's probably never going to make it. And I'm sure that the Trump people think, oh, goody, 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 we'll just slide right in. But Trump still won't shut his damn mouth up. Stick around. Be back in just a couple minutes, all right?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend Over.
Public Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Amazing songwriter, a poet, done some phenomenal thing in his life.
Be thy holy name.
Terrible thing is I can't think of his name off. Leonard Cohen! Cohen! He was not one of those, never mind, I'll be a nice guy. I adored Cohen, his words are something else. Hallelujah. I mentioned to you earlier that I may not have enough time. We'll do all we can here. Postcards from the Edge. Too few Americans today appreciate, love, and long for a true individual liberty in the manner that I would expect from honorable men and women. They've discarded or simply forgotten the American heritage of freedom that had its inception at the start of our war for independence. Or it simply may just be that some are bred to the concept of liberty, like a racehorse is bred to run. why others are missing that oh-so-important gene. 60 years ago, the silent majority could probably view this situation we have today and readily see an end game. It was easy to connect ending the Vietnam War with ending anti-war protests, which meant voting for Nixon in 68. They could see the nation's social mores decline with the growth of the hippie anything-goes population. And in the same light, they knew that if law and order politicians ordered the streets cleared of hippies and protesting students like the Students for a Democratic Society, those anti-American bastards, then it would be done. Now, I don't think we have a silent majority since Senator Ted Kennedy types and those ascendant radicals of the 60s have just about reduced the white population to about 60% through the Immigration Act of 65 and illegal immigration as well. Except that's not immigration, it's just illegal invaders. But unfortunately, approximately 20% of them probably would fall into the ranks of the liberals and the Democratic Party communists, siding with Antifa and the BLM rioters just so long as they stay away from their mansions. Some have also simply walked away from the political arena, disheartened by the political mess after fighting the insanity of the Marxists in this country. Only to see them win anyway and continue to step on our freedom and liberty, primarily state to state, much as we've witnessed in Virginia and Minnesota and Washington State. No, the silent majority is just a pretty well disgruntled minority at the moment. We're on the right side. We're fighting the good fight. Hope lives that we may soon cobbled together enough through coalitions of groups and combined power with Americans unwilling to stand for the rapidly approaching tyranny. But are we waiting too long? Or I suppose that one never really knows with the thinking of so many these days, verging on the very brink of unhinged lunacy. And so I can only hope and pray that the greatest percentage of our countrymen cannot and will not continue to stand with these Marxist fools who are trampling our rights incessantly and ever more fiercely as the days go by. They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlors filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Oh, here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. The other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. This lady and I look out tonight for Desolation Row. Bob Dylan. You see, America and all of her institutions, my friends, have been under a constant withering attack since before the 2016 elections. And those attacks have grown more and more fierce and intense to this very day as the Marxists and the fascists and the nihilists and the anarchists of America proceed with their cultural leveling and cancel culture agendas. They seek to force equality of outcomes for all through mob rule and the redistribution of wealth and property that is not theirs in a campaign of intimidation, fear, and widespread violence across this land, with their intent to destroy America's heritage. Everything good and decent about her, from her traditions and principles to her very exceptional existence. The founders full well understood the dangers of democracy, of majority rule in general, and they had no qualms whatsoever in issuing warnings about those dangers, as noted in the following quotes. John Adams once stated, "Mankind will in time discover that unbridled majorities are as tyrannical and cruel as unlimited despots." And Thomas Jefferson, our third president, stated an elective despotism was not the government we fought for. And James Madison, our fourth president, stated that, and he was somewhat more specific in Federalist Paper 10, as he noted that, "Hence, it is that such democracies have never been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." So, my friends, today's uneducated, ill-informed, envious, matting collective masses within the ranks of Antifa and BLM, as well as all others seeking their own happiness through the prism of what can that government do for me, rather than seeking to be truly free, independent, free-thinking proponents of their own happiness and success. And they fail to understand that all men and women are not equal in attitude nor individual capabilities. The only true equality for mankind is seen in the equally in the equality found under the moral rule of law, designed to protect and defend one's unalienable or inalienable rights, and expand those rights under individual liberty that does no wrong to others. Their so-called solutions are nihilistic in that they have no solutions. They have no concrete demands other than vague calls for social justice, specific calls for privilege, and an end to systemic racism. Read racism aimed at blacks and Hispanics. That does not exist in America today, despite all their screaming claims to the contrary. Although there isn't any racist law or rule or practice within government and corporate America today, other than affirmative action laws biased against whites and Asians, they continue to advance the notion that America is a racist nation, so long as even one individual commits a racist act, raising the bar for America on the whole to an unattainable standard. In the meantime, during one interview, America witnesses Hank Newsom, a name we mentioned earlier, 6 foot, 6 inch tall Black Lives Matter leader in New York, told Fox News that we don't want white people in the Bronx. Otherwise, we'll burn the place down. And this scenario has become reality in too many cities across America, as Black Lives Matter and Antifa both have brought out lethal weapons and tactics in their agenda aimed at causing a major confrontation, possibly reminiscent of Kent State, which would finally bring down the Trump administration and place the reins of power in the hands of the Democratic Party and Joe Biden. No. The power is never going to go into the hands of Joe Biden. He'll never make it. But if it goes into the hands of that party, it will start us on our way to a nation of extremely impoverished people, all made equal by illegal dictates from the new regimes, the communist czars, and a wholly un-American program. And on July 25th, more mayhem and chaos and violence was the rule of the day in Portland, Oregon, and it still continues to go on. And yet, despite a temporary truce achieved by the Trump administration and Homeland Security with Mayor Ted Wheeler and Governor Kate Brown, no one should believe or expect this to be the end of violence and the campaign of fear and intimidation in the area. The same goes for places like Louisville, Kentucky, that witnessed a member of the radical Not Effing Around coalition accidentally shoot another member. In Austin, Texas, where one BLM member was shot and killed after he pointed his AK-47 at someone in a car. And on the same weekend, America saw Seattle's Antifa smash windows of businesses, set fires, destroy the Seattle Police's East Precinct building. 45 arrested for rioting, assault, other charges. While 21 police officers were injured. And down the coast, Antifa broke into the Federal Bureau of Prisons Detention Center in Los Angeles while rioters in Richmond, Virginia were setting fire to a city dump truck. Abide by the law, and one is still likely to have one's property destroyed or their life threatened or even taken by murder most foul, as America recently witnessed when some Marxist coward shot and killed Bernell Trammell, a Trump supporter, a black man, outside his store sporting Trump campaign signs in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. People are also being shot in their cars now, simply trying to conduct daily affairs. And so gun sales, are skyrocketing. And you think those BLM and those Antifa people went out and bought those guns at their local gun shop? No. Those are being supplied to them. You see, most Americans buying firearms today currently envision themselves defending life and property within a system of laws. But in too many cities, police have been told to stand down, and they've been politicized during the Obama years. What happens when decent, patriotic Americans realize that the system of laws, the rule of law, is now non-existent? For the silent majority slipping into the minority, it would seem as though there isn't any political option to end the current madness. You see, my friends, there really isn't anything any sane and logical person can give to these anti-American radicals, since with every concession there comes 10 more demands. They will not relent nor stop until they have completely cowed and defeated conservative America into total submission to the new collective agenda, whatever the hell that may be. No one knows what their vision for social justice or an end to systemic racism looks like, other than it doesn't include traditional American values and morality, since their pointless slogans and chants are, by and large, simple-minded idiocies borrowed from the grievance studies programs of America's universities and elementary schools, the hotbeds of subversive anti-American propaganda and indoctrination. And so for all of their touted intelligence and brilliance, it cannot have escaped a cognitive thinking person's notice that most of the Antifa and BLM disruptions and destroyers reject the reality that the system currently favors those in society who produce. And simultaneously, they reject private ownership of property and the reality that some achievements and experiences, for any variety of reasons, are open only to some people and not everybody in the country. And as such, their push for a pure democracy with a Marxist ideological base is founded in their premise that every single person must have the same exact right as the next person to enjoy the exact same things. A premise based in a deep hatred for America and towards success. And anyone who has attained a level of success on a social, intellectual, and economic level through their own choices, free will, independent drive, hard work. To achieve such an end, these Marxists necessarily have to move against free thought and individual liberty as they rebuild America to reflect this resentment and hatred. No individual can be allowed to exhibit views superior to the average man, and so, according to Antifa and BLM, all our institutions must be reduced to the lowest common denominator of intelligence, morality, an opinion in society. And to this end, government must, in the eyes of Antifa and BLM, cripple and oppress any superior being in our society while stamping out any original thought and utterly destroying free-thinking, dangerous men capable of true logic and reason and exposing the fallacies and lies behind the Marxist ideological tyranny that they intend for all America. My friends, the success of these anti-American radicals hinges on eliminating any center or person of power that is not subservient to their own power. And this is the reason we have seen a marked increase in attacks against Christianity and Judaism in this nation, and a rolling tide of vicious diatribes against any politician, especially conservatives, who oppose the false narrative of Black Lives Matter and the Marxist worldview. And so intent are they to create a world of men who are all alike and equal, they must ostracize all men capable of superior reasoning, and those men guilty of thinking unpopular thoughts. Once anyone is accused of such heresy, the subsequent proceedings take on the nature of a lynching. Since no one can stray from the party line, anyone who does so stands in contempt and has no rights under their notion of what constitutes the law. And hence the politics of Antifa and BLM are nothing less than the politics of envy. They cannot stand seeing anyone in America having a better time than they are, or pocketing a few extra dollars than they might have. Their bitterness, their prejudices, and envy are formed in minds that have not developed much further emotionally and intellectually than the average adolescent's mind. No, they seek the end of the Republic without offering anything concrete, nor of real substance to replace it, or solutions so extremely inferior to what is currently in place that they represent nothing worthy of one's time or consideration. And nothing appeases them as they continue to loot and burn cities, and the Democratic Party cheers on the lunacy and the radicals' reckless behavior that completely ignores the consequences of their actions. And the election itself, it's just another front in this ongoing civil war, this insurrection in the streets. And if Representative John Lewis's funeral last week gave us any indications, there's a smell of desperation to unseat Trump's hanging thick in the air, as Obama tried to present an image of peaceful protesters having their rights violated by this administration, which is one of the biggest lies of 2020. And we can go on and on and on. And I shared with you, I will run out of time and not have enough time to get this entire presentation in, but you can read it at federalobserver.com. You know, it's quite troubling juxtaposition in time from the days of our founding, based on freedom and individual liberty, to today and the harsh reality of the extraordinary advancements the Progressive Democratic Party Communist movement has made against freedom and liberty in this nation. And given the depth and the breadth of our nation's current political divides and the Marxist radicals' insistence for nothing less than the eradication of America's founding, whatever transpires in November will not be enough to stop this rapidly moving trajectory to an all-out hot civil war. And any real help, my friends, real hope for a return to the principles of limited government and the virtues that grew America and made her so strong and exceptional, seems to have flown the coop many years ago. They'll be reclaimed along a long, hard road, only after many hard-fought, bloody battles. And for me, I can only pray that that's the case. I'm beginning to have my suspicions that, well, in fact, it may not come to pass. The column posted is entitled "The Long and Winding Road, Postcards from the Edge." Both somewhat twisted references to the selection of titles that Justin Smith generally shares with me. Yes, we posted some very strange and unusual images in this photograph, or in this particular column. One of Charles Manson, and walking above his head, the Beatles on Abbey Road. Postcards from Utopia, the art of political propaganda. Battles in Portland, the insanity of it all. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. An image that I'll not attempt to describe to you, but to suggest it's comes from a movie that starred Liza Minnelli. And finally, my warnings to all of you. Hospitalize your local Antifa scumbag. Tomorrow we'll be returning with, and one other image I posted entitled "Long Live Revolution." Images of Che Guevara. Thanks for your time tonight. Been a lengthy hour. Tired out. I have much to do before this day's over. I'll, Lord willing, be back tomorrow. We're going to discuss some financial issues tomorrow and see what we can do. Good night. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now, these are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand with the guns
and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coach you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.